This is the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. Acta non verba.
So the house is off the night 73 and you got some sweaty balls? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's a leather chair. So, you know, I'm creating some heat down there, man. So I got to put a fan right, you know, right going towards the gonads. I had to make sure I had it going the whole time or I'd be like in a pool of nut sweat.
From under cheese.
Well, it was kind of funny because I'm training this guy at work today and I'm sitting in the truck and it's like maybe 50 degrees out and I'm like sweating. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I had to take off my hoodie. I'm rolling the window down like constantly, like up and down. Like, I'm like, Jesus Christ, my whole back's just one big ass pool. I'm like, are you warm? It's like, no. I'm like, oh my God, I'm dying over here.
And you said it was 50 out?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Going through menopause?
I'm just running hot, man. First time in a while actually doing the winter. Now it warms up a little bit. My body's like, what is this bullshit?
Well, yeah, you're coming out of hibernation, so
yeah. Well, what's today? Wednesday. Yesterday woke up, frost on the windshield, and by noon, 70s.
Yeah.
This morning I wore a flannel all the way till noon, like it was starting to warm up. And within an hour, I had to pull over, get the flannel. I was like cooking. It was like, crap. But 30 to 40 or more degree swings, that's just nuts. I feel like I'm back in a desert. Deserts have big, huge swings like that.
Yeah.
Midwest shouldn't be having swings like that.
Midwest has everything. Spring is like a desert. Summer is desert constantly. Well, desert with humidity.
Yeah.
Winter's like tundra, Canada. Isn't tundra cold?
Yeah, tundra's cold. It'd be what? Wetlands or something?
Frozen ground, yeah.
Well, that's just the winter.
Yeah.
It's cold, but it's not like, what is it? They talk about in Colorado that there might be a shitload of snow and it might be cold, but it's not like you feel cold to the bone.
Yeah.
And the Midwest, I mean, that's all we feel.
Yep.
It might be 20 degrees out, but you feel like your fingers are going to fall off.
Oh, hell, it could be 40 degrees with the wind blowing and you feel like your fingers are going to fall off when it's so damp. That's why around here we have wonderful, the feel-like temperature compared to the real temperature. I don't think everywhere has that. Or it's so close to the real temperature anyway, it doesn't matter.
They're probably lucky like that. Yeah. We just like to stay in hell because we enjoy the pain.
I guess. I always thought it was for the woods, but I'm starting to debate that.
Woods?
Yeah.
Does Illinois have woods?
Well, got a ton of woods. All kinds. In between
the fields. Compared to like Montana and shit?
Down by anywhere there's a river, there's woods. So it's like river and woods, and then the rest is corn and bean fields.
I was about to say, most of those woods are gone to farm fields.
Yeah. You'd be surprised. There's lots of woods around here.
I'm not saying that there is not, but I know there's some. There's quite a bit in Iowa, honestly. There's even caves, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Yeah, I know there's some around Maquoketa and up in the northeast.
But don't let people fool you. Those aren't completely natural.
Yeah.
There was people back in, I don't know, whatever, and they put dynamite to make the caves bigger so people could walk through them. Yeah.
I can't fault somebody for wanting to use dynamite. I mean, that's
you. So you tell me you want to blow something up? Sign me up.
Yeah, it's like
that's probably been since the beginning of the invention of gunpowder.
No, it's a solid.
What? And you don't know if it's going to blow up or not? Yeah, I'll pull the trigger. I'll like that.
Sign me up, dude.
You know, the first guy raised his hand and was excited to light that first cannon. it was all the guys after him that they had to force up there with spear point.
Yeah.
All the other experimentations, they're like, no, no, no. We thought it was a good idea. But did you see? Did you see Sam over there? We can't even count how many pieces he is anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, I gotta say, right. I got a W to this. I mean, not too long ago. Have you guys seen the show Yellowstone?
Parts of it.
Well,
yeah, I'm familiar. Anyway.
My girl likes this show. We started watching it because we heard all the buzz about it, and she likes it. I'm like, holy shit, what is going on?
So you like the same show?
Yeah. I mean, we have to really pick and choose ours because my taste is so much different than hers. But there's every once in a while.
You get so they got both of you on one show. That is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because, like, I've been talking to other people about this. Watching the show kind of reminded me of like when I was really young, because my grandfather actually had a horse farm because he used to race horses. So it was kind of like a family business kind of thing. And he had three sons as well. So it was my dad and my two uncles. So it was just like, I was talking to my dad the other day. I'm like, when you watch Yellowstone, do you feel like you were kind of in that show? I just thought it was kind of crazy. And I didn't think that she would actually like a TV show that was that masculine per se. But she fucking loves it.
Well, they do got badass female in it too. So
she is a badass bitch. Yep. Out of her fucking mind, but yes.
Yes. Drinks too much, fights too much.
She would be a scary woman to deal with. I can just tell you that much.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Talk about red flags. Just look at her hair.
Yeah. Redheads.
I tell you, gingers, they'll steal your soul.
They steal them because they ain't got them.
I plead the fifth. I refuse to comment on the grounds that it might incriminate me. I can confirm the trying to take their soul, your soul.
Can't confirm.
Yeah.
I won't expound on the means by which.
Don't think you should just try to suck it out.
Again, Senator, I plead the fifth.
Don't answer that.
I cannot answer on the grounds that it may incriminate me.
Jimmy, as your attorney, do not answer that.
Maybe, yeah, ply me with enough alcohol. And then...
Well, I'll do it at one of the private.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
Nate's just trying to get me in trouble. Is really what it.
No, me? I would never do that.
Well, right? No, no.
Now, why would he do something like that?
Yeah. What kind of incriminating because... things are you hiding, Jimmy? Should we talk about this on air? I mean, I
we having a therapy session right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, it reminds me of that scene in Goonies where they capture the one kid and he's like, "Tell me everything." He's like, "Okay, so in the first grade," like he starts saying every single thing that he ever did wrong ever. I poked a kid with a pin because I thought it was funny. And then in the second grade, I stole what, you know. That's what I should do one of these times. Just go on a rant like that.
Can you remember back that far?
I do remember in the first grade poking somebody with a pin. I thought it was funny as hell.
I'm sure I did, but the only one I remember was in high school. We were poking each other with pencils. And somewhere along the line, I remember getting mad, and it was a downward strike, and then I jerked the pencil back, and the tip of my pencil was gone. Oh. He's sitting there holding his leg, blood starting to run down it. It's like, oops.
Maybe I did a little too much.
Yeah.
That's okay. I got let in. I got let in a couple places to my right arm. Well, probably well deserved. I don't remember exactly what happened, but
yeah. Oh, or you see that pencil game where you flip them and try to break them and
break
stuff?
Break them? Yeah. And I remember like that, like teachers would get so upset about that. Like if you're doing it in class or something, like, you know, send you to the principal. Well, see,
they were still giving you pencils back then. You didn't buy your own.
Well, and then they had those plastic ones that you could melt.
Oh.
So if you took a lighter, you could bend them.
Yep.
Because they're basically plastic. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically plastic.
Try to sharpen.
I don't know what it was. It wasn't a hard plastic, but whatever material that was, that they. It's like a
rubber pencil.
Yeah, some extruded something. It looked like a pencil, sharpened like a pencil.
Wow, I actually think I know what you're talking about now. I had to think about it for a second. I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Yeah. What was
that? It was like something they gave out at the Scholastic book fair.
Yeah, or something like that. Like
You think, do kids still have those things?
Yep. Probably.
The book fairs, yeah, they still do those. Oh, I know even at the girls' school, even though it's a private school, they do that. Or at least at the elementary school, they do that. And I'm assuming they do that.
You know, it's a good thing to get books and everything. I won't tear that down. But I have stacks of those books, and you cannot give them away.
Yeah. Nobody well, shit, everybody them. Has them. That's part of the problem.
Everyone buys the same books every year, and it's like, you could have just donated them, and instead they're taking up... You almost hate to pitch them because all the money you spent on them for a bunch of overpriced books.
But it's a fundraiser for the school, so you're trying to...
Is it really?
And who's going to say no to books? I mean...
Right.
Even one or two, right? Like it...
you really want to ask that? I don't think I ever got a book from one of those things.
Was it for lack of asking, or you didn't want one?
I just never asked. It was more or less, it's cool to go to, and I'm like, I might actually, I take that back. I might have got like a Guinness book every year.
Yeah,
a Guinness World Record.
Speaking of Guinness, the world records, there's interesting stuff, but there is something making the rounds on social media. I think in Australia, a guy now holds the record for most push-ups in an hour, and they have video of it. It's like 3,200 and something or whatever. But if you watch the video, he's kind of doing half push-ups.
We're going to put a call in the Guinness.
Yeah. Well, the video, I mean, there is a dude sitting next to him, like an official guy counting, so...
You know, on the counting thing for push-ups, if you're going to set that up, you should have a little thing that their chest touches every time in that.
Yep.
Take human error out of that. It's like.
Well, and I think on Twitter, he'd get roasted. Like, there's lots of people going zero, like zero, during the video, zero, it's like zero, 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 zero. Even military guys are going, yeah, if we did that in the Army or Marines, Navy, wherever, zero. Zero, 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 zero. Like
he moved his elbows, so they counted it.
Well, the way I think of it is, being in Australia, he's doing metric push-ups, so that by the time you do the conversion, really, he did like three.
And he's upside down.
Oh, true. So
less gravity.
Less gravity.
It's harder for him to go down. Is that what it is? Because he's being flung off the earth.
Yep. That's why he couldn't go down all the way. That, hey, we just fixed the problem.
Yes, we solved it.
But it's a metric system, so he did how many? 3,000 some?
Yeah, so it's closer to, I said it's closer to three.
Three.
Yeah. But I'm not sure what the metric push-up conversion rate really is.
Still, doing that many push-ups in an hour, even if you did 1,000 real ones, doing push-ups for an hour would suck.
Straight.
Yeah.
Just being in the plank position for an hour.
Ooh, yeah.
I'd almost want to take the push-ups.
So, fuck yeah. I think there was that one time I did a 5-minute plank and I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
Well, that's another video. There's some video making the rounds too where it's like a woman doing a plank for a minute or something, and with a caption that basically says, "All right, guys, I apologize. A minute is actually a long time." Or something like that, or 2 minutes is a long time.
Yeah, while you're doing planks, every second is like an hour.
And it's hard to get your mind on something else. I tried reading books. That didn't work. Tried watching YouTube. That didn't work. There's just... Yeah.
You're just asking them to get done with a YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, are we done yet? Yeah, yeah.
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 And for the record, I'm just drinking a Kentucky Mule. Templeton Rye. Otherwise, it's a meal.
Little Iowa Templeton.
Mm-hmm.
In a nice copper cup.
In a nice copper cup.
Is it real copper?
Yeah. It's probably lined, but yeah. It looks real.
It is lined, yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to drink out of a copper cup that's not lined.
You ain't living then.
Bad things can happen.
Bad things can always happen.
This is true. I always forget what they line them with, but copper's always supposed to be lined.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Probably just aluminum or maybe stainless. I don't know. Whatever. Alcohol will cut whatever
you hope
disease I'll get. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Alcohol kills the germs. Don't people know?
Yeah.
It's medicinal anyway. So,
yeah.
Exactly.
If you're sick, take a shot of tequila.
But I tend to like mules with something out like a Kentucky, whether it's bourbon, rye. There's just something about it that sits better than vodka, like, because vodka doesn't taste like anything. So.
Unless it's flavored or anything.
Yeah, understand. Right. Did make one with a cider ginger beer.
Hmm.
And so there's just it was just a hint of apple, nothing too fancy. And with the vodka, it was good because that apple came through just a little bit, and it was really good with the rye. In a way, just almost like a apple pie in a way. Ooh. There's the spiciness of the rye, you know, some of that cinnamony heat, whatever kind of notes, and then the hint of that, plus the ginger beer, you know, in the beer, but then it's just apple, like a hint of apple. Nothing, it's not like apple juice or apple cider. It's just a hint of it. So you know it's there, but it's not like you're sucking on a Jolly Rancher or something. So, good stuff.
Delicious.
Yeah. 10 out of 10 would recommend.
CJ, when are you going to start your stash?
I have a stash.
Oh, do you have a stash?
Yeah, I had to give someone.
I meant to take a picture of just the shelf.
Well, so our stash is mostly from the
parties. Oh, you drank it all the other night.
Yeah, the last podcast you were complaining. Who drank all my stuff? Oh, I did.
I did. That's right.
So I went to another party and I had Modelo's. I had a 12 pack or something. that's what happened with that one.
Oh, okay.
No.
Sure.
Trust me, and cut the cart right there. Now the liquor cut. Most of the time, if I'm at home by myself, I'm not a big liquor guy. I'll have like a couple beers, and that's good for me, just because it takes time to do anything with liquor in it.
It does.
And most of the bottles that are in the stash are not touched because it's not something I personally like. Well, because we have parties and people bring over bottles and then they leave them.
Yeah.
So we're stuck with like the misfits of alcohol. Like we had somebody bring over one time. It was like some kind of wild turkey, and I hate wild turkey, so it sat there and collected dust ever since he brought it over. We did one shot one night, and it was absolutely horrible.
It was probably gasoline by the time you got to it.
Probably.
Kerosene.
Yep.
I'll just put this in my truck, don't worry.
You need to put it in a diesel during the winter time, just to thin the fuel out a little bit. I forget what the ratio to gas to diesel is, but I'm sure a bottle of whiskey would help it.
Mm-hmm. Cut right through.
Yep.
It's not, it can't gel up because it can't freeze.
Exactly. Yeah. Grandpa used to do that with old tractors and stuff, all the heavy equipment. He'd pour like a gallon of gas for every 100 diesel or something.
Hmm.
Thin it out a little bit.
I honestly never heard of that.
That's like when it was cold and they didn't want to turn over, and we'd lit fires underneath the oil pan to freaking heat the engine up.
Well, yeah, and I remember wasn't there something that you had? Well, even back when carburetors and were a thing, and it'd get cold and start in your car. Yep. The good old days, simpler times.
Push the clutch 2.5 times. Don't push it or the gas 2.5 times, but not three.
Yeah.
Three will flood it out.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like 1, 2 and hold.
Just sounds like me as a kid warming up pizza rolls at like 1:51.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's too long.
It's molten. It's frozen.
Yeah.
Like literally, like 2 seconds either direction,
and it makes you fucked.
Yeah,
it's huge, and every microwave's different in that respect. Mm-hmm. And you can't type in just what you want with all the specialty buttons anymore.
Yeah, I do hate that about our microwave. It's like it's either in minutes or 30 seconds. What the fuck is this bullshit? This new age technology is stupid.
Where is my phone? Up.
Oh.
What just happened?
Something. A call from the president, I'm sure. Yeah. Needed to take care of that. God.
I fucking hate you. Ain't that the fucking truth?
Yes.
Sorry, folks. It was just sharing something between the three of us. On social media, a meme about young men in the locker room versus old men in the locker room, which we've talked about on this podcast before.
More than once.
And it just describes the reality of gym locker rooms and the difference, the difference between ages.
This is exactly why I stopped going into the locker room.
Oh, I just bring a little back. Like it, don't lie.
Yeah, something about saggy nut sacks and old bush.
But another 30 or so years, you'll go back to the locker rooms again. Yep.
I'll just be going to the gym for the sauna and then leaving.
Yeah.
Great time.
Always makes for an interesting adventure.
God bless. You sent that. You reminded me of something. My contribution.
Wait, that's not what it is? Oh, sorry.
I've been looking in the wrong place this whole time.
Yeah. Now, you got to love older perverted men than the perverted self that you are. Even though we feel old some days, there's older men out there and you got to learn from them. And that was given to me by an older guy. And I'm like, yeah, I have a couple friends that will appreciate that. Send that to me. And I promptly forgot about it, but yeah.
Oh, that's fucking great.
Yeah. I don't know. He sent me another one, too. That one we shouldn't describe on air, probably. Okay. If you're walking along the trail or whatever in the nice park where you know that people do things, and you look down and you see a pair of dentures and a condom. What kind of story would you make of that? You know, if your sweet, wonderful daughter, not your youngest one, was like, oh, what do you think happened there, Dad? What would you say? How would you cover that one, Jimmy? This is good parenting here. How do you take care of those awkward questions? With Alex, I would just tell him the truth, but I'm curious what you'd tell your daughters.
Hey, what's the truth you would tell them?
Oh, that was simple. One of two things. He either was banging her from behind and knocked her teeth out, or she was sucking him off and it got stuck on his penis ring, and when he jerked it out, yanked the teeth out. Either way is win-win. One of the two happened.
And both of them had, or at least they had the sense to practice safe sex.
I was about to say, so he was getting head, Dad. Why is he wearing a condom?
Safe sex.
So she wouldn't get pregnant.
Or you yanked it off too. Yeah, there's possibilities there.
Yeah, I could describe what they are. Hey, that's a Boulder set of dentures. And that's a condom.
Why are they together?
Yeah, to answer as to why both of them are found in such close proximity. I mean, those are two, let's be honest, those are two different questions. What is that? What are those?
Just see one of them going, well, we should pick things up, throw them away.
You're going to pick those up.
Well, and then, I get leaving the condom, but the dentures, like, did somebody show up so you bolted?
Or if somebody's wearing dentures, are they really bolting?
Fair. That's a valid question.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, what wild ride? You're at CVS. Like, two people happen to be at the CVS at the same time. Oh. One thing leads to another, and you go to the local park, and like, well, and so here I am thinking more of a heterosexual kind of thing, but for all we know, could be anything.
Yeah.
Now you're asking too many questions.
Because if it's But yeah, it's like two people meet up at CVS. They lock eyes. One's buying a pack of condoms. One's buying whatever denture cleaner or the glue to hold dentures in place.
Probably the glue, and they didn't get it in there quick enough.
When they left right away, had time to glue
it. Had no time for it to set. It's like concrete.
Fuck him. Fuck it, leave them. That glue didn't fucking work. They're dirty now. I'm not putting them back in.
I'll get another pair. Maybe it was dark and they couldn't find him.
I'm surprised they didn't find any glasses around. I dropped my glasses. I can't see where my dentures are.
Trying to escape with their walker.
Jesus. Scooting right along.
That's really a portable chair, not a six screen, officer. Ma'am, are you missing your teeth? No. All right. We should probably move on to insane things, which this one's not surprising. What'd you put it on the So generated women makes more money off lonely dudes on Reddit. In this article,
AI generated
women.
Yeah. Reddit users unknowingly buy nude images of AI generated women.
And I don't, I guess I just don't see this as newsworthy.
Holy crap. You are beautiful. One user commented on the fake image. Well, of course they did, because AI generated a beautiful
blonde hair, blue eyed.
Yeah, well, dressed. And it's not, it's certainly not shocking, but it's just one of those things that caught my eye. And yeah. It's like something to talk about. I mean,
it's especially funny with that all the AI the news rage. Picked it up, even if it is the independent news, but still, it's like.
Because we were a couple about other places. This was, yeah. I just happened to grab this one, so
that's a nice little side gig.
Yeah, but we were talking earlier about this a little bit, and it's like, okay, how many women on IG use a filter? Oh. Well, that's a half a step away from the AI when they can just throw. Just thought of something. There's another thing from the Jetsons. Remember when she used to put her fake mask on for the video calls? We got video calls. Now we got fake masks you can throw on. So you can look like crap, throw a filter on, and you can look amazing. So
photos of the ultra-realistic Claudia character, which was created using AI tool Stable Diffusion, began appearing across different Reddit forums a few months ago. One image attracted hundreds of comments, with one user writing, you're looking very pretty. Of course, there are incels that are checking this out. But yeah, those filters, and there's somebody I know, and I won't name names to protect the innocent, but somebody like what they, and I just actually saw them last week, and it was, the pictures you post on social media and what you look like standing in front of me are two different things. Noticeably a lot less wrinkles on social media than in real life. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, you gotta think. AI, you look at the video games out there, there's people are buying nudes of artists doing nude renditions of different people in video games, anime, art. Hell, there's even nude pictures of the Simpsons rolling around that people are paying for. And you're like, really?
I mean, yeah.
So, but it's like, it's the evolution of, I can make a computer generated. I'm thinking, I can't think of one of the movies, but it's like where the hologram pops up and it's actually looks like a real person, but it's not. You can poke your finger. We're going to start seeing those in airports and busy sectors. And who was it? Didn't they do Michael Jackson do a hologram of him dancing or something not that long
him
ago?
And Tupac, him and Tupac.
Okay.
Yeah, and I thought they even did something sort of like that with Prince.
It might have.
Yeah.
Did they? Is he still alive or is he dead?
He died.
He died?
Yep. He is gone.
Oh, okay.
Prince is no more.
I must have missed that one.
And he's gone.
But thirsty guys paying for fake pictures of nudes. These at least look human compared to artwork. I mean,
yeah.
Photoshop goes back all the way to the 70s with Playboy and them fixing pictures.
Mm-hmm. No, those were all natural. All American girls, Nate.
All American all... my dude.
Just like Budweiser and Marlboro Reds.
Oh my God, don't say Budweiser. Bob
Bardweiser. You keep guys seeing clips or whatever about their new whatever spokesperson or whatever.
By the way, just to interject, Prince died in 2016.
Wow, okay. I'm slightly behind.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just realizing it.
But yes, I've seen the clips of friends Bud Light.
See, I haven't actually seen the Bud Light thing. I've just seen people I follow making fun of the Bud Light stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, really? Bud Light? You went that way? Well, it didn't work for Harley going after that generation. What made it think you should go after that? It's.
And last I heard, Anheuser-Busch InBev, which is the company, lost $6.5 billion market cap.
Mm-hmm. What, their stock went down like 4% or something,
like ridiculous amount.
It was a week. It went down 4% just because of that ad.
Yep.
Well, you kind of
and then they pushed a video out, a short ad, commercial, whatever. But it was basically what historically they've done, which is show the Clydesdales, show America kind of thing, and that was it. And it's like, and then the CEO even made a statement, but it was a word salad that really said nothing,
right?
But hoping people would think it was an apology without ever apologizing.
Well, the whole thing is you don't need to apologize. Just don't be fucking stupid.
Yeah. Didn't they put it on the bottle's label and everything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the person is on them. Which I had no idea who the person was until this whole thing happened.
I think lost in the sauce is in all of this. Like, it's easy to attack the person that they used from a marketing perspective. Or attack that decision. But I think what gets lost is who is that person's audience? There are a lot of young people, a lot of teens, a lot of whatever that follow that particular person. And really, even their Anheuser-Busch's marketing person said, yeah, we need a younger whatever. And it's like, you need a younger demographic. I mean, we can debate what should be the legal drinking age and all that sort of stuff. But if you're targeting young kids, didn't Camel cigarettes get hammered for trying to target kids? So, I mean, but I think that gets lost because it's easy to attack the thing, which is justifiable. I think you can make the argument that that was a poor choice. Like, you know, you are the most successful alcohol beer in the country. Like, they were selling, to say they were selling gallons of that shit is an understatement. Yeah. And so, and you, you threw that all right out the window. But, you know, attaching it to a specific person, and you can search the Googles and the interwebs to find out what we're talking about if you don't already know. But but I think, you know, there is a young, you know, a young market that they're really trying to target. And I think that's an interesting thing that gets overlooked by the spokesperson controversy.
What's funny is that younger market doesn't have money to buy this stuff.
Nor do they really care who's on the bottle. I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
Me being in that demographic back in the day, like, we didn't care what it was.
What it was, we just got it. Yeah.
If it's cheap,
whatever we could get our hands on.
Mm-hmm. So, like, oh, this person's on the bottle. Let's get it. No, nobody cared. Well, that was, also, that was a different generation. Mm. These were topics that nobody cared about. It was not prevalent.
Yeah.
Things.
I don't think anyone cares about the topics nowadays that are in the generation they're going after. So it's like,
yeah, it's just an interesting play.
I think it's why do these businesses keep trying to do this stupid stuff and just be a business and sell your product? You know, it's like, it's what kind of stunt backlash? And it just seems like every time they do it now, it's like the pendulum's starting to swing back the other way. So the backlash is worse and worse. It's not like they're not getting to take steps forward. They're actually slowly retreating because of the backlash.
Well, and they've lost so much. I mean, you know, as a company, they took such a huge hit. And Miller, Coors, some of those other companies have gained as a result. And I know I read a story, you know, there's lots of musicians and entertainers that are sort of, we're not going to have their products at our events, you know, and how many country songs reference Bud Light or Bud in some way, shape or form. Mm-hmm. I know there's one recently in the article I read where whoever it was changed it to Coors, instead of saying Bud Light, changed the lyrics to Coors Light. So it's interesting. Not only is there a takeaway of that brand, but they're giving that brand equity like that. That it was a popular country. You know, I'm not hip to current country,
right?
But you know, imagine Garth Brooks had a song where he talked about mentioned Bud Light, changed it to Coors Light. Garth Brooks is a quantity, right? As an artist, is a huge quantity. So he's now backing, he's pulling away from Bud Light and pushing Coors. Like, that's not even a loss for Bud Light. It's like a double loss because that brand equity now just totally swung and all went to somebody else. So not only did they lose, but one of their competitors gained. And that be interesting to see how things play out for them here over the next weeks and months.
You know, it's like you can save the world for, you know, 50 years of your life and do one bad thing. Everyone's going to remember that bad thing, you know? It's like...
Fuck one goat.
Exactly. That's all they're going to remember. So it's like...
Yeah.
You almost got to wait till the next generation of people out there or the next group of drinkers to forget about it, because it's like,
yeah,
your social standing just went in fast. And I don't think it's like you got all these social gurus with these big companies, but at the same token, you got it. Oh, we can get away with this. No, look at everybody that has failed up to this point. You're not going to get away with it.
Well, I wonder how much of, you know, a while back on a couple of podcasts, we were talking about how I was seeing, mouth tape, you know, to stop mouth breathing and all that sort of stuff. But how much of that is people really doing it versus algorithms feeding you that stuff?
Right.
And likewise, you know, are we getting to a point where algorithms drive so many sorts of things. So granted, there is a slant. There are people that believe these things, right?
Right.
Because they start somewhere. But once things get going, it could be easy for... And then you get these people who believe these things in sort of positions, marketing positions of some kind of power or decision making. And then, but they see the world through their phones or through social media. And so they're being fed this algorithm that all these things are happening. And so, oh, we should hitch our wagon to these things. And they believe that. So they, you know, so let's hitch our wagon to this thing. And all it takes is, you know, you have some people move out and just enough people get in to go, yeah, that's a fantastic idea. Do that. Oops. And, you know, you end up alienating your core demographic. Perfect. And it's like, why do you, like, you have a cash cow, golden goose kind of thing. Why would you want to kill that just to try and get all the golden eggs kind of thing? Yeah. And I think but it feeds itself, and you're kind of blind to your own, you know, that algorithmic thinking, or you're a product of that.
You're in your echo chamber.
Yeah. 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 That's what I was thinking of.
Yep.
Yeah. And then I know there's been some studies on people, like, you know, cults or of various kinds, where, oh, the world's going to end on this date, or aliens are going to come and save us. They're going to come down on this date after this comet passes. It's
the pink Kool-Aid. Never drink the pink Kool-Aid.
But it's, you know, when those people are wrong, they don't go, well, I was wrong. Sorry. Charge it to the game. I thought I was reading the tea leaves right, but my bad. Yeah. I miscalculated. Maybe it's some other time. No, they doubled down.
It's not the Gregorian calendar. It's the Tasmanian calendar.
So we got a couple more months or another 2 years or whatever. And right. They double down on those things. You know, it's that cognitive dissonance or whatever, where they double down on the thing that is clearly wrong. And so how much of that sort of thing feeds into some of this stuff where I can't be wrong. I'm either smart or I'm generally a good person.
We're the largest beer company.
You feel that you're right.
Yeah. And so then you make a mistake, and rather than owning up to it or saying, even if it was a miscalculation, you know, how many businesses, right? Small, big, doesn't matter. They think, oh, hey, we're going to launch this new car, this new line of clothes, this new thing. Restaurants, we're going to try this new thing. You know, here's this new menu items. Oh, shit. None of them sold. Oops. Thought we were hopping on this bandwagon, but apparently nobody gave a shit, or we were so late to the game that it didn't matter. But that never happens. Because you can't admit you're wrong. That probably feeds into it as well. So anyway, I didn't mean to derail us with the Budweiser.
Yeah. Well, I brought it up, I think. But yeah, it went. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is interesting how lots of companies do that. There's almost some sort of convergence of this stuff where they're marketing or promoting these certain things.
It's, you know, if I go to a hamburger joint, I don't care about your politics. I want a good, juicy hamburger. Mm-hmm. If I go buy alcohol at a store, I don't care about your politics. I'm there to buy alcohol. You know, it's like if I go to
a strip club,
yeah,
I don't care about your politics.
I mean, Chick-fil-A is still around, for fuck's sake.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's, I don't care. Throw all that stuff off to the side. Just be a business. Just be a merchant that does. Leave all the politic in. If you want to donate to your favorite, whoever, representative, senator, president, whatever.
Pause, whatever. Yeah.
Do it all on your own. And don't tell me about it because I don't care. I just, it's like I want a good product and I don't care about all your PC crap. I really don't.
Well, and that's a good point too. That's the other part of this. It's not just you do the thing, but it's like you have to make sure everybody knows you do the thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if you really care about that thing, you would just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And not
throw like people's faces kind of
deal. Yeah, exactly. Like you're, you know, any man who says I am the king is no king. Any man who says, oh, I'm, you know, I'm charitable and I support all these causes. Well, no, no, you don't really. Yeah. Like you're virtue signaling. Mm-hmm. Like it's guilty. More ego.
It's a bragging point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're doing it so I can say I do it, not because I really truly care about that particular cause or how much that feeds into it.
Right.
On top of everything else. So we're forced by
American. You're talking on an iPhone.
Well, it was designed in Cupertino. No, yeah, but it's put together and
my favorite is it was assembled in the US.
Yeah.
Nothing was made here.
Yeah.
No, my favorite is when it says made in America, but you look a little closer and it's Mexico. Technically they can claim that. It's America. What? North America. Yeah, it can be made in North or South America and be made in America. America is two huge continents, and every country can complain. You know, if it's made in the USA, well, that's different than made in America.
That's the United States of America.
Because if you remember, Chevy used to have a commercial that was like, we're the heartbeat of America. And it was like they had something along the lines of every truck we make is American made and da 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 da. And then someone came along and said, well, what about the Windsor, the Windsor engine? And everyone's like, wait, what? Oh, yeah. All those 350 Chevy engines that are made in Canada. Well, we said America. You know, that was their answer, not, you know, but they were trying to claim, but yeah. So it's one of those, got to watch what's made in America compared to what's made in the USA. And even then. I went there for a while. I was watching labels like on everything because it was like it felt like nothing was made in the USA. And I remember complaining to somebody, and this was a number of years ago. And the next day I'm driving down the road and I see all these Porta Johns with huge stickers on it said made in the USA. So I can't get a phone or a computer or a car or anything else, but I can buy a Porta John that's made in the United States.
I think Maglite flashlights are still made.
Are they still made in the US?
All made in the US, or they were.
That's cool.
Yeah. We got Porta Potties and flashlights. What more could you need?
I mean, I can't remember on Harley, but they're starting to move their stuff out. I mean, all their clothing and everything is from out of country. Most there's still some
sense.
Tool manufacturers that are made here, but not as much.
Yeah, it's getting less and less. Just too bad. But whatever.
All right. Okay, CJ, I feel like we kind of talked about this, but I can't remember if I moved the thing. Tell Me Who I Am documentary. Did we already talk about that?
No. It was,
okay.
It was one day I watched two documentaries and both of them I came up with questions. I'm trying to think. This is like over a month ago.
That's the one with twins.
Oh, did I bring it up?
No, I think we talked about it.
Oh, okay.
Briefly, yeah. After.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. All right.
Because we asked what it or whatever. So.
Yeah. So I'm not going to give the whole story away, but it kind of came up with like a moral dilemma. So, if you had a brother and you guys had a terrible upbringing, and at some point down the line he lost his whole memory, would you tell him about like all the bad shit that happened in your childhood and the good stuff, or would you just tell him the good stuff so he would believe that he had a great childhood?
Because he wouldn't remember what you remember.
Yeah, because so in the documentary, there was an accident when he was like 17 or 18. I don't remember now. Yeah.
Yeah, motorcycle accident at the age 18. And his twin brother helped him recreate his lost memories of childhood.
Yep. Hmm. So it was kind of like the moral dilemma. He's like, well, do I tell my brother all, like, it was, if you watch the documentary, it'll blow your fucking mind. But he's like, do I tell him everything that really happened? Or do I just tell him all the good things so he can actually have a life that doesn't involve all that bad shit that happened to us when we were younger?
I would start with the good stuff, I think, and see how much would maybe like jog his memory to help him out.
Nothing would. They're like 50 years old and the guy's still like, even the good memories are the ones that his brother told him about.
No, but that's what I'm getting at. I'm like, that's where I would start, though. I would start with like the good stuff to see if it triggered anything, and then maybe sugarcoat some bad things a little bit and like slowly work my way to see if it would. But if at some point along the way I was talking to someone and nothing was coming back, I would just stop.
Well, see, that was kind of the thing. He's like, well, at the end, whenever they're doing their interview and stuff, and like, anyways, he's like, the reason I didn't want to tell you, it was also selfish because it happened to me and I didn't want to have to relive it.
That'd be fair.
So it was kind of, I was thinking, I'm like,
it would be hard if you haven't truly dealt with that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yours. So if the one brother who remembers it all really didn't, I could totally see that being selfish and not wanting to have to relive that. But you'd think that you'd want to make sure that that stuff gets addressed and that you work through that properly. And whether that's on your own, with the help of friends or the help of therapy, I mean, no, but some way, shape, or form. Talk
about with friends.
Well, right. Understood. But at the same time, my point is you got to be, however you work through that stuff, you got to be willing to work through that stuff, because if you don't,
it's just going to fester.
Oh, yeah. And it will come out in so many other ways. And you may not even be aware of the control that thing has on decisions that you make and what you say, do, what you choose to do, like all those sorts of things. And over and above telling your brother who doesn't have those memories, I think at least starting with the good stuff is... Now, does the documentary take place like how, like long after?
Like 30 yeah. plus years.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of like at the point that he didn't want, well, it started out as his, he didn't want his brother to know. Like, he wanted him to have this kind of life that, like, it was good, you know,
yeah,
essentially. Yeah. That's how it started. But then, like, he's still having to live with it. So he's like, well, if I don't bring it up to him, then I don't have to relive it and he doesn't have to live it. So it was like a selfish thing, but also unselfish. And it's like one of the things that's got so many layers. Like it's
fucking. Yeah. Cause I mean, that's what an awesome opportunity to kind of, in a way, take your, like, It's not pain,
it's
like that you're.
It's literally taking away the pain and not letting that person ever have it.
Yeah, but to a certain extent, how much does the average person remember their childhood to begin with?
You remember all the bad shit.
Not even. I mean, you hit an age and you're not there yet, CJ. I think you forget both.
Well, I can
remember certain circumstances of little things, but like the overall.
If I can give you a little bit of an idea, this is something that happened to them when they were like 5 to 17-ish.
Yeah.
So this is not 14. Just a little. Okay,
yeah. No. I'm not saying them on this one. I'm just saying the average person in general. Most people couldn't tell you it's like you would. What I'm getting at is you forget that stuff anyway. So him omitting the bad stuff and just giving them some good highlights. There's a lot of people that shut off most of their childhood and don't remember anything from it. So that's where I'm getting at. Him omitting it, even if he had a problem with reliving it, I don't see the issue there. It's like, give him a good childhood.
I would agree. I think there's, you know, how altruistic of him is that, where he's willing, like you said, to eat that sort of pain, or, you know, even though it was amnesia, you know, the thing, like, yet he has no memory of those things. But if I don't have to tell you these, do I really need to tell you these things, setting aside my own personal his own personal things? Do I really need to tell you this stuff, like you were saying, Nate? So here's just the highlights.
Yeah,
you know, here's the career highlights that you need to remember of all the good things. And, you know, maybe there's some stupid shit you did,
right,
that's funny or could be funny now. Remember that time where we egged that house and then you got busted and, you know, stuff like that. But,
yeah,
but the abuse, like, I could see, you know, and how awesome, like, and you're swallowing his pain, but then having to swallow your own on top of it, like, you know. But so that, you know, I don't see a problem with it. I don't know that I, and would you want to, like, I mean, but on,
I don't know. I was on the guy's side the whole time. Like, I don't blame him for what he did. Like, telling his brother about
it. Yeah, I don't think you can. Well,
that was a terrible part, because him not telling his brother about everything ruined their whole relationship. So, like, they didn't talk for years until the documentary came out, and, like, they kind of, the one brother,
how'd the other brother find out about it anyway, then, if the one brother didn't tell him?
He started to find little clues and things and started to ask questions whenever their mother passed and all this stuff. Like, he started to, like, there's things that didn't add up. Like, gotcha. Why is this here, and what is this, like, this photo of, and stuff like that. So it's like, fuck. Everything's kind of blown, and then, like, he wouldn't tell him. Like, he's just like, you don't need to know. You don't want to know, more or less.
More or less, yeah.
Well, although that's one of those, like, time goes on, and if someone started picking clues, I would probably be like,
all right, here we go.
Here you go. This is the time to tell you. Like he's hit a point and he's ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not good for him or he doesn't like it, he's like, I'm ready to know the truth. Like you said, they somewhat reconciled during the documentary. They finally got to a point they could talk about it. It's like, well,
he at least enough to get together for it. Yeah.
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 So that changes the circumstances.
And I could see, that's one thing that I was thinking, you know, while we've been talking is, you know, I'm, you know, when you get parents, and I know this is siblings, but parents often, right, shield their kids from something, you know, maybe, you know, back in the day it was drugs or alcohol or divorce or something, you know, a kid out of wedlock, so you don't talk about those things, even though somebody knows, there are a couple, you know, there are people who know the story, but you don't, what parents tell their kids is some excuse or some, you know, some lie, thinking in the name of protecting us as kids, whatever, you know, whatever the thing is. And then, you know, years later, you find out the reality. And then it's like, well, you could have just told me the fucking truth. Like, because some of the, you know, how often do we make things bigger than they really are? And so we try protecting our kids from that thing. And really, at the end of the day, probably wouldn't give a shit. But man, I'm more pissed off that you weren't honest with me than. And so that's one thing that was going through my head. And I agree. If it got to a point where things were starting to come to light.
Yeah. I mean, I can see it to a sense, because there was things that, I mean, obviously my parents hid from me, and then I came to find out when I was older, which I was like, I'm kind of happy that I didn't find out younger, so I didn't have a skewed perspective of things, because it's something that happened in the past, and that person's changed, and this
that's is fair, because you don't really understand.
Yeah, it's not like
the whole life thing, the
implications, and how much different things are now. Because the reason they were hiding it from you is because you wouldn't understand, and you would maybe have a bad view of things.
Yeah. Well, that's like taking today's perspectives and putting it on someone even 50 years ago.
Uh-huh.
It's a different culture. It's a different time, you know, or try to throw it back 100 years. That was a different world. You know, it's like,
Yeah, I often wonder, like, if my grandparents were still alive, what they'd think about things today. Even shit in the family, and not that anything's like stupid, crazy has happened in the family, but just, you know, who their grandkids are married or what they're doing for jobs, you know, let alone the culture today.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sure as shit know my grandfather on my dad's side wouldn't be drinking any Bud related products. But that's we've already talked to that one to death. But yeah, I think if questions start coming up, then you kind of at least have to start going, okay, look, maybe you don't go, you know, crazy deep into a lot of the details, but maybe start brushing some broad strokes. Okay, here's what happened. This is what, and then you kind of take it from there. If he really keeps poking, digging, scratching, then okay, we need to go deeper. And that may mean you have to deal with shit that you haven't dealt with yourself. But then at least that's something that both of you could go through potentially together, though.
Yeah.
It's interesting how all those dynamics work and how different people deal with them.
Some people that can't deal with that kind of shit in the first place. But that's also probably people that have been shielded from all of it, everything.
Yeah. Well, and both things. Or you got the people that see and consume so much, so they assume the worst from social media, when really it wasn't a big deal. And they're like, you know, when they finally calm down, they're like, okay, well, the world isn't going to fall apart because the apple fell out of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, you get that. And then you got the sheltered people who go, oh, this is just crazy, insane, or da 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 da. And it's like, no, there's crazier out there.
Yeah. Well, and one thing too I've been thinking about here lately, just generally, is, you know, we talk a lot, however many, what, it's got to be 110 some odd podcasts we've done together.
We're like over 130 now. We're coming up on 140.
Yeah. So like, you know, across, you know, how many of these podcasts, if we talk about putting in the work on yourself, become a better man, and whether you think of that with a barbaric mindset or whatever you want to call it, but you know, and not just getting in shape, but working on becoming a better man in all the ways that you need to, and a better father, but how much of doing that work helps you deal with things that come up in your life even better. So, you know, whether it's small everyday shit that occurs, whether the car breaks down or a flat tire, fridge goes out or something, to more extreme things, you know, whether it's a death in the family or a divorce or, you know, find you lose your job, like how much better you're able to handle those things by working on yourself. And, you know, where my reaction maybe 5 years ago to some things would be like to something like this might be vastly different than, you know, yeah. So just interesting how we change can change as people over time and how our response to things change accordingly, which may seem obvious, but at the same time, I think that gets lost on some people. It's like, sure, you're working out, you can look better naked and all that sort of stuff, but there's other changes in yourself and your mindset that allow you to handle things better, different.
There's always bigger issues looming.
Ain't that the fucking truth? Wait, size matters?
It's the motion of the ocean, bud, not the size of the ship.
This is true.
Remind me of a talking subject, so that's good. We'll save it for the next time. Okay,
fair.
Yeah.
Again, that documentary is, what was it called again? Tell Me Who I Am.
Tell Me Who I Am.
Yep, I believe it's on Netflix, and it's definitely worth the watch. It's probably one of the craziest documentaries I've ever heard, ever watched. Well, I didn't really watch; I listened to it.
All right.
I think we're good. I don't have anything funny to end it out with. It's almost slightly depressing. I was trying to think up something humorous there in that pause of silence to make everyone at least chuckle or feel better about themselves.
We should have just left them with the void of silence.
Well, that'll work. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. I hope it's given you something to think about in your own quest to develop a barbarian mindset. Because it's with this mindset that you'll find the skills, strength, attitude, will, and endurance to see things through and live within the civilization and still be a barbarian. We appreciate your feedback. We especially appreciate those who have been supporting the podcast. That's the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. On our website, on Anchor FM, and on Spotify. You can find the show notes on the blog or anchor.fm/barbarian rhetoric. If the podcast has been helpful to you, please let us know. You can do this by checking into the Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars, and leaving us a short review. This will help us get our message out in front of many more people. You can also talk to us on social media and let us know what you are thinking about or how this has helped you. On Twitter, I am at SteelJanz. That's STEELJANZ. And I'm also on Instagram at Barbarian Rhetoric. There's also a couple other things you need to check out. One is the Barbarian Rhetoric blog. And of course, our newsletter. There's a pop-up which you'll see as soon as you land on the blog. Thanks for listening. And always remember to be a barbarian in a civilized world. An apex predator. A civilized world.